Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. According to the latest figures, 41,000 Europeans have asked Google to stop providing links to outdated information about them. The ability to make such a request is the result of a European Court of Justice ruling handed down last month. People now have a new right, the right to be forgotten. Some pesky facts about you shouldn't be following you for the rest of your life, they say. And this could be liberating, or it could be just a way to purge the net of some awkward information for giant corporations and political leaders. What do you think about the right to be forgotten, the battle between the people's right to know and the right to privacy? We invite you to call in and join the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Alistair Barr. He covers the technology for the Wall Street Journal. And Justin Brookman, he is the director of consumer privacy at the Center for Democracy and Technology. So, Justin, how is it that we have a right to be forgotten? Is it really a right to be forgotten?
Yeah, so Europe's had privacy law since 1995 or so, and you know, Spanish law has this vague provision in there saying you have your right to control certain facts about you. And no one really thought it meant the right to be forgotten until a couple of years ago, the Spanish Data Protection Commissioner started, he got complaints from a bunch of folks in Spain saying, here's some stuff online I don't like about me. And he made the decision, well, you know, maybe they should have a right to take these down. So this particular case was a man named Costeja Gonzalez, who there was a debt, a news story about a debt from 16 years ago online that he didn't like, and he petitioned the Spanish DPA to have that taken down, and they went to Google, and Google said, no, it's not. Well, they went to the newspaper first. The newspaper said, no, this is our story from a while ago. Then they went to Google. Google told them to go away, and then they sued Google. And then a couple weeks ago, it turns out they won. And so now Google has to take down that link for European search results.
Alistair, how come this isn't the internet version of book burning?
Well, some people think it is the internet version of book burning. But I suppose the main difference is that Google may have to take down these blue links that everyone clicks on search results, but the actual information and the actual website where that information resides will still be able to be around. So in a way, it's probably similar to a library. A library would have to maybe burn its catalog of index cards rather than the actual books.
And Justin, so this could be a new financial model for Google. They could sell the information that some people wanted forgotten, as people, you know, email in and say, forget this, and say, well, you know, if you want it forgotten, it could be worth something.
Yeah, you know, there are actually some sites in America that do that. So there's mugshot sites where, like, they'll download, they'll scrape from, like, Florida all the public mugshots, and then they'll say, hey, if you want this picture of you drunk in an embarrassing T-shirt from a couple of years ago gone, we're going to extort you for, like, $500. Similar for revenge porn in the United States. Like, there are sites that say, you know, we'll take it down if you give us enough money. I think in Europe they're saying that this is actually a God-given right, or a right by the Charter of Fundamental Rights. So I don't think they can charge money for it in Europe. Instead, they have to take, you know, like you said in the intro, there are 40,000 of these requests. They have to take each one, evaluate whether the information is still quote-unquote relevant to the public interest or not, and then make a decision about whether to leave it up or not.
Alistair, is this just limited to the EU, or could this spread to other civilized countries?
The EU has much stronger privacy laws, and they have they obviously have the right to be forgotten in a law from the mid-90s. So in the US, for instance, you know, there's obviously enshrined much more freedom of speech, and there are less privacy, fewer privacy laws. So it would, in the form that it is in Europe, I don't think it would come to the US. But you know, in starting next year, California has a version of this for minors, for people under 18 years old. Some form of it is. It's not really, the idea hasn't been very well known up until about a month ago in the US, but I suppose a version of it is coming to California.
Can you explain a little bit more about that California development?
Yeah, so it's basically a privacy law for that state for minors, people under 18, And there are two main clauses, but the one that's relevant to this conversation is an erasure clause, and it basically forces websites to, and it would include Google, but Facebook as well, and a lot of social media sites, where if the website operator knows that a minor is registered and is using the site, then it has to provide a clear way for them to be able to delete information that about them that's been posted publicly, either by themselves or by other people. And the point here is that, you know, if you are 16 or 17 and you go on some crazy rampage, and then, you know, by the time you're 25, you're a bit more responsible. Maybe your actions shouldn't be publicized to the world when you're 17, but maybe they should when you're 25.
Our phone lines are open if you want to join the conversation. Do you think you have a right to be forgotten? Those old high school photos of you with the mullet, you know, should those be wiped out of the net? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. But let's talk about the people's right to know, because do we have a right to know everything that is available about an individual that we may have be doing business with, or someone we may be voting for? Justin?
I'm more concerned about people's free speech rights. I don't think I have a right to know every single thing about you. I think people should have controls about the information getting out there in the first place. You don't have a right to look at my bedroom and assess everything about me. I should have some zones where I can not have what I'm doing be judged by the world. But if something gets out there about me, it's reported in a newspaper and Google links to it, I'm concerned about the newspaper's free expression, right? Say you thought this is newsworthy, something worthwhile to put out there, or a blogger thought it was worthwhile to put out there. I'm concerned about someone's ability to go and quash that person's free expression rights and make that go away. So like Alistair said, I think these laws would be very challenging to do in the United States. I mean, we have some narrow versions of them, right? We have some of the team bills, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, you know, does make certain debts go away from our credit reports for some period of time. But by and large, saying to press outlets, you know, don't say these things about it, or telling search engines to not stop linking to it, is, I think, really concerning.
Right, but we're talking about items that have been in the public record, not going into people's bedrooms, or not talking about their different very private items. But if they had declared bankruptcy, okay, or if they had gone into a mental institution and now they're running for, say, lieutenant governor of Texas, people, you know, they should be able, people should have a right to know those things. Justin?
If something had been reported, that said, you know, if this person running for lieutenant governor of Texas had confidential sessions with a psychiatrist, obviously that's something that would be interesting to me as a voter, but I think the privacy rights of the individual outweigh there. If, however, a Dallas newspaper, you know, photographs him going into a clinic, you can question whether that's nice or not, but I would have strong concerns about limiting their ability in publishing that photograph, or in the candidate's ability to go to the newspaper and making it go away from history.
Okay, we're talking about the public's right to be forgotten, to having little facts about you that are on the internet, whether or not there is a right for you to have those things sort of wiped out if it's found that this information is outdated and no longer relevant or incomplete. Those are the caveats that they're using in Europe. If you've got a question or a comment about that, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. On KSTX, I'm David Martin Davies. Yesterday, European privacy watchdogs met in Brussels to begin working on guidelines for how Google and other online companies should handle the right to be forgotten request. And that's what we're talking about, the right to be forgotten, or in old French law, it's also called the right of oblivion. Our guest this half hour, Alistair Barr, covers technology for the Wall Street Journal, and Justin Brookman, he's the Director for Consumer Privacy at the Center for Democracy and Technology. And you, we invite your phone calls. The number is 210-614-8980. Let's get Martin on the air. Martin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. My question may seem like a really far-fetched idea, but what's to separate this concept of forgetting, being forgotten, versus what China's doing with Tiananmen Square riots of 1989.
Okay, Martin, thanks for that great point. So let me ask you, Alistair, you know, that is that possible? I mean, could an entire historic event be just sort of wiped out if once we accept the idea that there is a right to be forgotten?
Yeah, I mean, that's the really, if this might be considered the thin end of the wedge, that's really the long-term concern that, dictatorial regimes that want to control information and control history will try and wipe it out, and that's totally the concern. And you know, obviously I'm a journalist, so I'm slightly biased in this type of area, but the broad concern is that people in power will exert their influence and pull things off the web, which is now really the main place where the public gets a lot of its information.
Yeah, that's always it's concerning to me, though, about how the web is the main place where we get our information. And people have the idea that everything is on the internet. Well, it's not. There are huge gaping holes. If you go pre-internet, try and look things up that were in newspapers, those newspapers are harder to find. You just can't Google something that happened back in 1952 that may have been obscure. So we may be having kind of a version of this already. Justin.
Yeah, no, I think Martin makes a very good point. I mean, I think China is effectively exercising its right to be forgotten and is manipulating the web to remove inconvenient facts. Query if in Germany they wanted to make the whole Nazi situation, maybe not, you can't make it go away entirely, but you can certainly make things less prominent, order Google to tweak the algorithm to move inconvenient facts down. Google's reported that a lot of the requests they've gotten have been from politicians trying to make fraud allegations from a long time ago go away. And I worry this is going to be the thing that's going to be manipulated more by the rich and powerful who know, who have the access, who might be friends with Google employees, as opposed to average Joes like you and me, who may not have the access, the ability to convince Google or to lawyer up, right, to convince Google that if you don't take this down, I'm going to take you to court and march all the way to the European Court of Justice.
Right, they can hire lobbyists to work for them on the behalf of the reality that they want to present.
Yeah, and I mean, and we have that to some extent in America. I mean, increasingly there are companies like Reputation.com, right? You pay them $10,000 and they'll try to manipulate Google to get positive stories up about you and make maybe the embarrassing things from a few years ago bump down in the rankings. And this is the sort of thing that most people can't afford. And it's not foolproof, but it's certainly relevant. I mean, it certainly may be worthwhile to folks who have the money and who are more likely to be searched on Google to try to find ways to game the system somewhat. I think Google fights that and tries to prevent it from happening, but you're right. I mean, it's a relatively opaque algorithm, and you trust it, and you assume that everything's out there, but by and large, it's not. And I think you have to be aware of that the system can be gamed.
Right, and Alistair, I've already seen an article online talking about how businesses can use this Google right to be forgotten for their benefit to take out some bad things that have been published about them.
Yeah, and actually there's a whole industry out there called search engine optimization, and it employs thousands and thousands of people. And it's every minute of the day there is some website somewhere, some expert who's changing a website in some way to make it appear higher up in Google's main organic search results. And a lot of that is fine. A lot of that is just making sure your website works well. But some of it is as it's called in the industry, black hat rather than white hat. And you could have a situation where, for instance, on the money point in Europe, basically if you put in a request to Google to have your information taken down from search results, and Google denies that, then you will have to hire a lawyer and you'll have to take them to court again.
Sure.
So it will be a case of money and time.
And I'm sure Senator Santorum would have something to say about the black hat and the white hat and how these things can be used to mar your reputation. Let's get another caller on the air. Hugh has called in. Hugh, welcome to The Source.
Being Joe next door in with somebody running for governor in Tiananmen Square. We already have laws concerning slander and libel that successfully differentiate between public persons, celebrities, and people running for office, and the rest of us. The same sort of differentiation could be used in a right of privacy. So that Joe next door has one right of privacy, and public people have a different right of privacy.
Well, that, like you said, that exists now. Your right of privacy.
For slander and libel, not for this. I'm proposing extending it.
Okay, that's a pretty good idea. So, Justin, what do you think about that?
I mean, I think that's included in the standard that the European Union put out there, or the decision from the court, is that, you know, is this information relevant to the public? And, yeah, sure, maybe about a governor it might be, but about, you know, an average person next door, maybe this 16-year-old that isn't relevant. And I guess I'm sympathetic to that, but I'm also sympathetic to, you know, what if I'm a blogger and I take a picture of a friend of mine, we're out drinking one night, right, and he got a little sloppy and maybe I was a little mean about him. But, I mean, that's my speech. I'm saying that about him. And I'm including an embarrassing picture of him online. And, you know, does he have a right to tell me to stop saying that about him? It's true. I watched it. I spoke it. I published that. Does he have a right to go to Google and say, hey, this is inconvenient for me? I don't think he does. I think in that situation, the individuals, you know, whether it's me as a blogger or a newspaper that reported on the debt a while ago, I think their free expression values are going to have to trump here.
And you never know who's going to become the next public figure. We have it seemed like the people are plucked out of obscurity, a face in the crowd all the time, have suddenly become front page news. Sandra Fluke, it could be anybody.
Yeah, and I fully support your right to go take down all those stupid things you did, right? You know, I think a lot of these social media bills we're seeing in the United States say, you know, you have a right to go to Facebook and delete it. The Federal Trade Commission's actually brought a case against Facebook for not letting people delete stuff that they could. If you published it about yourself, yes, you have a right to take down those dumb pictures. If you're going to run for office, you probably should. You don't have the right to tell your friends to take down those same pictures or to say that that's you in the pictures. And in those cases, you know, I think whether you're average Joe or whether you're running for president, you know, I think that my right to take that picture and talk about it, I think, outweighs.
All right, back to the phone lines. Harrison is called in. Harrison, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I guess my point would be is I can understand why people would want to have the past forgotten. But I guess my question is, shouldn't neighbors, whoever lives by these people that want to be forgotten, have information about who they're living next to? Say you're living next to a sex offender, but he wanted that erased. Shouldn't your neighbor who has an 8-year-old daughter know that this guy was charged with a sex offender case?
Okay, Harrison, thank you for calling in with that question. And so, Alistair, that's, you know, people who have criminal offenses, particularly sex offenses, you know, that should that be able to be forgotten?
Yeah, see, Google has already signaled that it's going to stand pretty firm on that point in Europe. So there are these, you know, vague guidelines that the European Court has given Google and other search companies. And in response, they said, you know, we will consider these requests, and here's the web form where you can fill out all the information in your request. But we will, in cases of things like criminal convictions or financial scams or things like that, they said, you know, those things they basically hinted that those things they're going to fight for sure. And your caller's point is very real. I mean, I like to think of it as say you wanted to hire a babysitter for your 5-year-old child. And you Google their name. Would you want the fact that they've been charged with possessing child pornography in the past, even if it was 15 years ago? Would you want to see that? I think you probably would.
Okay, another caller, Jake, has called in. Jake, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, I'd like to have your guest speak to those of us who have been victims of identity theft, and boy, trying to get that stuff off the web, and you know, once that's happened to you, it's a whole different ballgame.
Okay, Jake, great question. Appreciate that. Justin?
No, I think it's a fair point. I think that there, you know, I think there's been this big rush to get public records online, and like things like social security numbers are included in that. So I think there's certainly more carefulness about putting fake information online from the federal government for whomever. If there's false information out you about there, we have defamation laws out there. I think you have an obligation to go to the publisher and say, hey, what you're saying about me is wrong. You know, I think there absolutely are, I think, cases where I think this right to be forgotten, I'm sympathetic to, right? I mean, the identity theft is a good example. I think someone doing something really stupid at 14 and they shouldn't, you know, hurt them for the rest of their life. On the other hand, I just don't understand how this scales, right? I mean, how does Google respond to 40,000 requests every couple of weeks? They just don't have the resources to do it. And my worry is they're just going to default to taking everything down because that's easiest and cheapest, and they're not going to get sued. You're not going to get sued for taking something down, but you might if you leave it up. I think Google so far seems to be fighting the right fight, and I think we'll probably take into consideration if you had identity theft, they'll probably say, you know what, maybe that's right. Maybe we will let this one go. I just don't see in the long term how companies can really balance these considerations. I just don't think companies are the right place to do it.
So you think Google could be just hit with the tidal wave of requests? They need the personnel to be able to deal with that if they're required by law. It's just too much to deal with, and it could hurt the quality of the internet overall.
That's right, and I mean that's what happens with copyright today, right? They get dozens of copyright takedown requests. They can't in real time evaluate them, so erase it.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Alistair Barr covers technology for the Wall Street Journal. Justin Brookman, he's the Director of Consumer Privacy at the Center for Democracy and Technology. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.